Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, if you're with us on this Wednesday, as I feel like we're in the witness protection program. One day at State College, next day New York, next day Columbus. Don't tell anybody.
Your new theme song is Going Mobile.
Feels like it. Here tonight for Penn State basketball, the Nittany Lions are in action, taking out Ohio State this evening at the Shot at the Value City Arena. Coming up on the show today, we'll look back on yesterday's media day, including Jordan Hill and Michael Robinson. That'll be next half hour. We'll little Peyton Manning and Richard Sherman along the way as well. I know Kevin was aching to be there. I actually got you a gift yesterday.
Oh, see, I knew you'd think about me.
No, they were handing stuff.
Oh, it was free. All right. Well, that's okay, too. I don't care about that. I just wondered if you and Marshawn Lynch were hanging out a little bit, you know, with your back up against the Super Bowl logo, just kind of chilling there.
We did. I tell you, he was awfully chatty. I mean, I finally looked at him and said, look, I finally looked over at him and said, will you shut up? I said, you know, I said, I'm trying to hear the Rutgers band here.
Well, the good news is he didn't violate any NFL regulations because he did show up. It doesn't say you have to talk to the media, just show up with the media.
Right. Now, what do you like to collect?
Just about anything, really.
You like to collect pins.
Yeah, that's one of the things, sure. Yeah, cereal boxes, pins, cards, yeah.
I got a little pin.
Nice.
New Jersey, Super Bowl 48. All right, tonight, Lion basketball. They'll play Ohio State here at the Shot this evening. This afternoon, I had a chance to sit down with head coach Patrick Chambers. Well,
first of all, I would tell you 2 minutes down three, and statistics or analytical people will tell you you're not winning the game. And we just believed. We made all the net. We went out and took it. We believed we were going to get that win. We were tired of these end-game situations and not getting it done. And I felt like that was our mentality. I felt like our guys did a great job. They understood the game plan. We focused on what we can control, and that's our attitude, and that's our energy. And then you saw all those type of plays. Look, the inbounds play, you know, turnovers, nothing you can do. They got to keep putting themselves in that position. We got to still keep meeting passes, and we got to be smarter. But it was great to see the dives. We didn't have a bad, you know, body language or bad facial expressions. We just said, all right, next play. Hey, this is what happened. Next play. Doesn't matter. And we went out and took it, and we won it.
There is not one moment with this team where at any point they've fallen off in practice. They have worked hard for you in practice all the time. But success does breed success. What have you seen the last couple of days after a win?
We're coming together. You know, guys understand their roles. Guys understand their position when they come off the bench. Our bench has been very good. It needs to continue to go that way. We're trying different things, and we've simplified, and I think that's really important. We've made things simpler for them so they have a great understanding and a clear head.
John Johnson came off the bench, gave you 10 first-half points, then hit that big three down the stretch. You look at him as you go through this conference season. Is that the guy you need to have come off the bench and just give you that microwave feeling?
Yeah, he's got to be the microwave for those who remember the microwave from the Pistons. Showing our age here, Steve.
Vinny Johnson, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, he needs to be that guy, but he also needs to play great defense and do the little things, which he did and was exciting to see. And we needed to make a big shot, and he stepped up and he had the courage to take the big shot. And I give Tim a lot of credit. He made the right decision. He was wide open, and he took it, and he took it with great confidence. So that's what it's about. And we were due to make a big shot. You know, it was either a free throw, a stop. We got a big shot and two stops and a rebound. So let's hope we can keep that going tonight.
You've only given up 119 points your last two games. What are you seeing defensively?
We're just, again, I simplified things. We have a better understanding of where we need to be. Our rotations are tight. We're just look, we played great D against Purdue, played very good D against Nebraska, and it was exciting to see these guys rebound from such a devastating loss at Purdue. I'm really proud of where they're going, but our defense is getting much, much better, other than threes, you know, percentages.
Ask you about rebounding. What do you need to do on the boards to do a little bit better job?
We just got to find bodies. You know, we're in rotations, and when you're in rotations, you know, a guard is on a big, and we, those guys need to do a better job of finding the body and go getting the ball and running it down.
Ohio State, a team coming off a win over Illinois. They've had a really good season to this point. What impresses you?
Look, they're tough. It's Thad Matta's, you know, personality, and that's who they – and Aaron Kraft, obviously, is an extension of Thad. They play hard. They play physical. They play tough. They're the best defensive team in the Big Ten, if not one of the best. We got to find a way to score tonight. And Aaron Kraft's leadership, obviously, but they got LaQuinton Ross playing at a very high level. He reminds me a lot of DeShawn Thomas of last year. And you know, they're older, and they're a little bit wiser, and they're playing at home. So we have to do a good job. First 4 minutes is going to be critical tonight.
Patrick, thanks. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Steve.
And that's head coach Patrick Chambers talking to him earlier today. Let's get you a read on tonight's game, which will be a 7 o'clock start this evening here at the Shot at the Value City Arena. Driving this morning, what I did was I rented a car this morning and I just dropped it off here in Columbus. I'm going to fly back with the team tonight. I was in western Pennsylvania. The temperature was 20 below zero. 20 below.
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Oh, my goodness.
That's cold. Listen, that's right. Ice road truckers cold.
It was 20 below zero. About 50 miles from the Ohio border. I thought, this is just brutal. Kept on driving. There was no thought of stopping. But that's how cold it got out here. It's a beautiful sunny day, but it's also you look over and you say to yourself, how deceptive is this? How about Jonathan Martin? Interviewed by Tony Dungy. I'm not sure the interview's helping him.
It'll be interesting to see.
It's on NBC Nightly News tonight, but it's not helping him. You know, I don't know. You listen to it. I heard excerpts of it this morning. There are a couple things that are without a doubt over the line, but I'm not sure he's helping himself. How about that?
I'm waiting to hear the whole thing and withholding judgment on that because he's been quiet for so long. I'm interested to see what he has to say about it now.
I've heard enough of it where I don't think he helps himself. Okay, I don't think this is one of those things that is a plus for him in all of this. I really don't. Let's see, media day yesterday. Everybody was able to get a one-on-one with Peyton Manning. Just kidding. Everyone who went to it yesterday said in the last 20 years it was the worst one. And there was a reason for it. Because this is an indoor Super Bowl. Excuse me, this is an outdoor Super Bowl in a northern climate. They could not hold the media day on the field. And that is the norm. You hold the media day on the field. Well, the field is 360 by 160. That includes the end zones. They held it at a hockey arena yesterday, the Devils Arena. It's only 200 by 85, so you had 5,200 media yesterday crammed into a 200 by 85 area. And that was certainly one of the issues with what they had yesterday. Now, you know, could you move around and get from place to place? Yes, you could move around and get from place to place. In fact, I went in with a game plan. The game plan was pretty simple. I wanted to make sure I got each quarterback, each head coach, and picked out one guy on defense. So I got Peyton Manning. You know, and this is the press conference stuff. Press conference, Peyton Manning, John Fox, Champ Bailey. Press conference, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, Richard Sherman. And then the individuals, of course, were Jordan Hill was in the defensive bullpen, And Michael Robinson had a booth yesterday. They had five booths, five primary booths set up, that followed by 11 secondary ones, 12 secondaries, 12 secondary ones. Robinson was actually in one of the 12 secondary ones, which worked out, you know, which worked out fine. But it was interesting because, you know, I mean, Mike's story is a little bit different than everybody else's. Robinson had, you know, of course, has been to the Pro Bowl as a fullback for Seattle, counted upon, and so forth. He plays the preseason game against Denver and doesn't feel right. He had hurt his ankle. He thought maybe it was something residual from his ankle injury. And they finally took him to the hospital, had him checked, and blood wasn't right. He was hospitalized for a little while. Well, when that happened, look, football's football. It's cold business. They cut him. So they cut him, and Derek Coleman became the starting fullback, and then they went through the season. And Derek Coleman against Arizona then got hurt. Well, as soon as the game was over, Mike's sitting at home, and his cell phone blows up. Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Max Unger, come on, get back. We need you back, need you back. And that night, the Seattle Seahawks called and said, like, Mike, we need you back. And he's back. He is hoping to squeeze out at least one more year if it's possible. And I think when you this day really maximized almost anything in his career. Yeah, because he is now in his eighth season. It'll be his season. That's maxing out what you can get out of this league. That's maxing out. He's married, has four children. So that's maxing out what you can get in the league. And for him to come back, look, I mean, let's face it, in October, he did not think he was going to be sitting there. He didn't think he was going to be sitting there. And then suddenly in November, he's back. And not only is he back, he's in the Super Bowl. So it's a great story for him. For Jordan Hill, Jordan Hill is the kind of guy that had kind of a roller coaster year because he got hurt early on. Then he was finally able to get back in there. He doesn't play a lot. Does not play a lot because Seattle is a team that does not do a lot of subbing. In fact, you know how often we talk on this show about the importance in today's game of sub packages? Seattle doesn't play a lot of sub packages. And they don't blitz. They rush four guys. That's what they do. You know, that's why Peyton Manning, who plays the game at three different speeds, you know, it doesn't matter as much against a team like Seattle. I know, you know, Kevin asked me before going on, did I have fun at Media Day yesterday? And it was different, but to be frank with you, it's business. I know you hate that.
I wouldn't have expected a different answer from you, though, really. If you would have said you would have had fun, I would have asked you where you really went, because I know you wouldn't have gone to Media Day.
Oh, I mean, did I enjoy? For example, like Peter King and I had a chance to catch up yesterday. Okay, and it was great to see him. All right, Kim Jones and I had a chance to catch up yesterday. Kim's doing a lot of work for NFL Network. We go back 25 years. All right, Peter and I go back 50 years. Literally, we grew up together. So, I mean, it was great to catch up with them. I saw Emily Kaplan yesterday. Melanie. Collins was there yesterday. You know, Joe Posnanski, probably talked to Joe Posnanski for about 25 minutes yesterday. I mean, so that part, you know, the catching up with people, that part was great. When it came time to do what we're going to hear in the next half hour, it's business. And I know you hate that. But if we did it your way, we'd have no business.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's been another interesting newscast where Sarah did a brilliant job while I had to then talk the co-host off the ledge.
There's another person here?
That would be you. They were talking about bitter coworkers, and all I hear is, you have no idea. Wow.
I'm great right till 3 o'clock. I'm glad you had at least a little fun at Media Day. Now, when are you going to share some of the fun with us?
Never. I got nothing done. I decided to take your method and just to, like, socialize.
At least you got something done, yeah.
No, we're going to share it starting now. As a matter of fact, we're going to start with Jordan Hill. You know, you come out of Steelton, you go to Penn State, you play 3 years at Penn State. You play 3 years. You play 4 years at Penn State. No red shirt for Jordan Hill. No red shirt at all for Jordan Hill. Plays 4 years all the way through, closes out his career with an absolutely brilliant monster game against Wisconsin. One of the finest, one of the five finest defensive lineman games I've ever seen anybody play at Penn State. His Wisconsin game. He ends up being a third-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks. And yesterday I talked to him and I looked at him. I said, can you believe the ride you've had? I said, could you believe you'd be standing here now at the Super Bowl?
Now that it's hard to wrap around my head.
It's a step. Everything's a process, obviously. What did Penn State do in that process that allowed you to be standing here now?
I really came in here as a better person, you know. You know, you just realize that certain things that Penn State did for me, it can be little things, just being on time for meetings, the way to represent yourself, which is how to talk. It's crazy how the little things like that, it makes a big difference. And I thank Penn State for, you know, really making me into a man.
You had Bill the last year, who obviously was a pro mentality coach. How did the pro mentality then help you with the actual pro mentality?
Just the way he operated from practice to meetings, it was an easy transition for me. Because I felt like I had done it already. And, you know, it wasn't something that was brand new to me.
You know, of course, there's been another change. So when you heard about James Franklin coming in, to hear a little bit, what struck you?
The first thing that I liked about the whole hire was he had Pennsylvania ties. You know, me being from Pennsylvania, being a local guy, you know, that means a lot to me. And the guys that he's hired, you know, a lot of guys have Pennsylvania ties. And, you know how we are. We just like that little stuff about people. And now that I've seen, like, how strong he's recruiting and stuff like that, I feel that it's the right hire. You know, once this week's over, I'm going to try to reach out to him, you know, because I'll be in state college, you know, sooner or later. And I just, you know, want to have a meeting with him.
No question. Also, the strength and conditioning coach was Fitzy's mentor. What did that program do for you?
Oh, it helped me out a lot. I just know how to take care of my body. The thing that I still do is just the types of pregame stretches. I do it before practice, do it before games. And it's just, you know, it was something that I did all year, my senior year, and I just, you know, brought it along with me.
With everything you went through, obviously, Penn State, you had to be resilient. How much does that help you at this level, resiliency?
You have to be, you know, because everything's not going to go your way. Especially, you know, during my rookie year, I've been hurt. I had, you know, multiple injuries. And, you know, just learning how to deal with those and, you know, feeling that you've already, you know, overcame something, you know, it makes the injury thing a lot easier.
Tell me about the atmosphere at Beaver Stadium and the atmosphere at CenturyLink Field.
You know, when I first got drafted, people were telling me how crazy it is in D-Link. I'm like, listen, guys, I play in, you know, the best college stadium. I play in front of 100,000 people. I'm like, you can't get that much different. You really won't know until you actually get in the C-Link, though. 12th man is crazy. It gets so loud that it really hurts your ears. You know, I'll be on the sideline. I'm trying to close my ears because, you know, start beating. It's hard for you not to want to go out there and, you know, give it your all.
For you now, as you progress through the season, I know you got hurt, but where do you feel you are actually better now?
Mentally, you know, just learning the game. Learning the types of people that I'll be playing against and the types of offenses and formations and stuff like that is way easier.
That, of course, is Jordan Hill from yesterday. Yeah, I was going to ask him, you know, how does it feel to be on the same field with Peyton Manning, but we decided not to go that direction.
Probably a good choice there. Yeah, it's probably a good choice.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I mean, we could do that. Marshawn Lynch said today about being at the media. He was at media day for 6.5 minutes yesterday. He went to the media session today. It took 7 minutes. It was Michael Robinson tried to lure him in. Didn't work. Lynch said, quote, "I appreciate it, but I don't get it. I'm just here so I don't get fined." There we go. Greg Aiello said players are required to participate. He participated. The Pro Football Writers Association of America, not exactly thrilled with that answer. They're not satisfied with Lynch's action on Tuesday. In a statement released today by the PFWA, they said they're extremely disappointed in the lack of meaningful access that Lynch gave reporters during Tuesday's session. Several of our longstanding and high-profile members were appalled by Mr. Lynch's conduct and refusal to answer any questions. We find the statement by the league that the players are required to participate, and he participated, to be an affront to our membership. There you go. Look, we ran into the same thing with Allen Robinson this year, okay? We ran into the same thing with Allen Robinson this year. And frankly, I didn't like it. Now, Robinson did have a preseason incident, okay, that was a practice incident. We were not going to talk to him about that, okay? The NFL stuff, we weren't going to talk to him about that either. And every time we asked, we got, well, he's in the shower. In the shower, really? We just want to sit here and talk football with him. Okay, so we've run into it that level as well. Okay, and that's something that it doesn't help them. How about that? And for example, an area where eventually down the road it might not help them is what's happening on Saturday. Do you think they're going to sit there? If he has one of those great careers where he gains 12,000 yards in his career in that neighborhood, do you think he's going to get a lot of votes or support in the room to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Don't think so. Michael Robinson yesterday had his media day, and Ed Bouchette started off the questioning by asking about the number of positions he played at Penn State.
Quarterback was my favorite, and wide receiver, running back, quarterback, slot receiver, some fullback, punt returner, kick returner. I had no idea. Joe did, but I didn't. I had no idea. Yes, he did.
Yeah, Joe thought he'd be a fullback.
Because I was the best quarterback at the time, so by knee basis. You said, am I happy with it? I think the school did a good job trying to find a coach. You know what I mean? It was definitely a tough job for anybody coming in there. I thought O'Brien did the best that he could. You know, I felt like he was honest the entire time. And I felt like we got a great guy in there now. And Coach Franklin, I look forward to seeing him do better things. Yes, I do. Yep. Yeah, I think the position changes and all of that really made it easier for me to be able to stick in this league for a long time. In this league, you only get one roster spot, and on game days, only 46, 45 guys available to do all the things that you need on the football field. So the more you can do, the better you are.
How much was that driven this season by how your season
was? Yeah. It definitely gave me of element of patience that I had to definitely keep, because I just had no idea when I was gonna get an opportunity to be back in this league, and I'm glad it worked out here in Seattle.
This is Michael Robinson's press conference from yesterday, talking.
It was awesome blocking from Marshawn, man. He's beast mode. So if you don't move your guy, he's definitely gonna. He'll run up your back and move you and the guy. So he makes my job a lot easier just because guys really don't want to tackle him. The mentality was I wanted to stay in this league. I didn't want to just get to the league. I wanted to stay in it and be in it for a while. So when you have bills and you got things you got to pay, you want to be in the league. You got to do what the league says.
That's why he's been able to do it. He's talking about representing Penn State as well.
It means a lot. I think it's just reflective of just, you know, how great our university is. You know, just the type of people, not only the type of athletes, but the type of people that Penn State produces. We produce really good people and productive people in society.
Now, of course, he went through the BCS experience, and I asked him about going from the BCS to then seeing a scene like this.
This is crazy, man. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I went to the ESPYs, you know what I mean, and I thought it was a lot of media, but this is crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
Someday he wants to be on that side of it, too. So that's an interesting talk about. That's the character from Marshawn, by the way, in the background.
Oh, man, it feels awesome. You know, it's a humbling experience to get here. You work to get here, and you know, it all comes down to this one game. It's what you've been working for life for. So, going through the experiences I did in this last year, it's very, very gratifying to be here right now.
And part of that experience, of course, was him getting the illness that knocked him out.
Oh, I just had to say thank you. You know, glory to God because. You know, he put the right people in my life that I could lean on through this tough time. And, you know, I got a lot of people, a lot of good people around me, and I love them for it. Oh, to me, the game is won or lost during the week. Who can kind of keep out the noise, who can kind of focus on the game and keep it a game. Because at the end of the day, 60 minutes of football has to be played. Thank you.
Now, here's the chronology of what he went through this season, starting in the preseason. Yeah, and it started right after the Denver-Seattle game.
No. Yeah. So as soon as training camp started, I had an injury to my ankle, and so I was taking Indocin for the injury to my ankle. And then before the second preseason game, I was just kind of feeling under the weather before the game. I thought I was getting the flu. And just as the days kept going on, and my condition just got worse and worse and worse.
So eventually he got to the hospital. That's where they really started diagnosing it.
Yeah, I got ill. I went to the hospital. They just filled me with fluids two separate times, and they sent me home. The third time, they kept me there, and they evaluated me and got everything straightened out. Yeah, I got released, yeah. As I was on the road to recovery, yes. Yeah, I mean, it is a tough blow, but it is business. I mean, and you're paid to do a job, and if I'm not able to put a product out on the field, you know, you're not able to keep your job. Yeah, that's something we talked about. They said hopefully when you get well, they knew it was going to be a 2 or 3 week thing, and once I got well, if the opportunity presented itself, they wanted to pick me back up. My NFL story. Oh, wow. It's been a crazy one. I would always say just the more you can do, the more value that you can add to your roster spot, whether it be special teams, whether it be just working in different positions, whatever you can do, the more you can do is the more value you can have. My value to Seahawks is obviously being a punishing fullback. I can help out in the pass game. I can also be your third down back if you need me to be. I can carry the ball if you need me to be, and I'm a Pro Bowl special team player and be your fourth string quarterback. What is an unsung hero? I feel like our unsung heroes are our eight practice squad guys that's working and grinding with us every week.
What does that tell you? Okay. He gets it all the way through. He knows it's a business. He's grateful to be there. I asked him if he's an unsung hero. He says no. He says it's the eight guys on the practice squad that are out there every single week that never see the field on a game. He says those are the unsung heroes. There's a guy that flat out gets it. You are our unsung hero.
You know, I when I heard that answer, I really liked that answer. I mean, that puts it all into perspective. He's got a great grasp of the whole concept, and I love the answer to the I could be the four string quarterback, basically saying, you know, just put me in the game, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's the kind of player you love to have.
Well, exactly. But that's how you get 8 years in the league. You get 8 years in the league when you're somebody who at Penn State played wide out, slot back, tailback, fullback, quarterback, punt return, kick return. He was first team all Big Ten at quarterback his senior year. He was the Big Ten player of the year his senior year as a quarterback. Mike told me early on how badly he wanted to play in the league. Understood quickly in his whatever it would take to stick in the league, he needed to do it, which means if he needed to play fullback, he needed to play on special teams, whatever it would take to get the check he would do in terms of a position on the field. And he's made 8 years out of it, including a Pro Bowl season. Not bad. All right, we'll take a break. Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, a little bit of Richard Sherman and a little bit of Peyton Manning as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Huh?
Go mobile.
Okay.
Yeah, like that part of it?
Talked to a couple guys that were going to Sochi to the Olympics. And they say that the 75-mile perimeter around that place, they say, will be an absolute lockdown. Absolute lockdown. So, and a couple people are not covering the Super Bowl. They covered Media Day yesterday, are not covering the Super Bowl because they're going to Sochi Saturday. I found that interesting. Now, Richard Sherman made up for Marshawn Lynch yesterday. Marshawn Lynch only was out there for 6.5 minutes. Richard Sherman was out there an extra 6 minutes. So, I mean, in the end, there's balance.
Do you think it helped?
He's a more quotable guy.
What was the media's perspective on this as a whole? I mean, when you look at it from my perspective, it's like, you know, just go out there, do what you need to do. I know you don't like it. I know you don't like talking to the media, but, you know, sometimes you have to do stuff you don't like. Just suck it up and do it.
Here's the problem, though. It's an hour. I mean, that's the biggest problem in the end. And it has to be an hour, because when you have that many people there, look, everybody tries to get a little slice of what they need. For example, I was standing next to Rick Riley yesterday with Russell Wilson. And I had asked Russell Wilson about getting Michael Robinson back, not only as a football player but as a confidant, which he then addressed. Rick Riley then jumped in, and he had back-to-back questions. As soon as he was done with his questions, he took off and went to the next one. So everybody tries to get their little slice of something from everybody. That's why you need the hour. But they answered questions for an hour, and you don't want to do it? That's kind of hard. And that's, I think that's part of the problem for him.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.